And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Juan Gonzalez. Welcome to all of our listeners and viewers around the country and around the world. A new report by the Associated Press has revealed the New York Police Department recommended increasing surveillance of the Shiite Muslim community in 2006 as tensions between the United States and Iran escalated. The report is based on a series of interviews and a confidential 10-page police document recently obtained by AP. The May 2006 NYPD intelligence report is called U.S.-Iran Conflict, the Threat to New York City. And it makes several recommendations, including increasing monitoring of specific Shiite mosques and centers in New York and surrounding areas. The report is just the latest revelation by the Associated Press into secret intelligence operations set up by the New York Police Department following the September 11th attacks, targeting Muslim neighborhoods. Hundreds of mosques and Muslim student groups were investigated and dozens were infiltrated. Police monitored and cataloged daily life in Muslim communities from where people ate and shop to where they worked and prayed. According to the AP, many of these operations were built with help from the CIA, which is prohibited from spying on Americans. On Thursday, a coalition of Muslim and civil rights organizations reiterated their call for the immediate resignation of New York City Police Department Commissioner Ray Kelly. The groups released a press statement saying such acts of surveillance undermine trust between the Muslim community and the NYPD. These measures are merely the latest in the well-documented history of NYPD's targeting of communities of color through discriminatory policing practices.
The AP report comes on the heels of another controversy surrounding the New York Police Department and the Muslim community. The police department's admission that it aired an anti-Muslim film, The Third Jihad, to nearly 1,500 officers during training. To talk more about the report, we go to Washington, D.C. to speak with Associated Press reporter Matt Apuzzo. He co-wrote the piece, Document Shows NYPD Eyed Shiites Based on Religion. Earlier this week, Matt Apuzzo and his colleagues at the AP were named finalists for the 2012 Goldsmith Prize for Investigative Reporting for their ongoing reporting on the New York Police Department's intelligence unit. So, Matt, welcome to Democracy Now! Tell us what you found in this latest report you did. Tell us exactly what this document is.
Well, this document is a secret, an NYPD secret memo prepared for Police Commissioner Ray Kelly by the Intelligence Division. This is the the unit that was set up and beefed up after 9/11 to basically root out terrorists and be the eyes and ears in the city for the NYPD. What the document does is it says there are ongoing tensions between the U.S. and Iran, and if those tensions were to escalate, what are the threats to New York, and what can we be doing now to mitigate those threats and try to get ahead of the curve? That type of analysis, that goal, is the kind of analysis that, frankly, every intelligence agency does, and everybody expects should be done. But what happens is they then say, okay, so this is the threat, and they go through and they say, this is the demographics of our city. They make note of the number of Iranians, who live in the Northeast, and then they talk a little bit about, the makeup of Iran and the political nature of Iran, and then they list a bunch of recommendations. And the recommendations go from the obvious, we should try to recruit more sources who speak Farsi, to things like, as you mentioned at the top of the show, we need to be increasing our intelligence gathering at Shiite mosques. Now, I mean, it's very hard to read that document as saying anything other than you're doing religious profiling. What you're saying, what that document says is, we should look at all Shiite mosques because we need to know about Iranian terrorists, and so they might be there. So Iran is Shiite country, Iran sponsors terrorism. We have Shiites in the United States. That's where we should be, where the Shiites are. And that was really striking for us because Mayor Michael Bloomberg has said The NYPD doesn't even consider religion in its policing. So, you know, we've asked the mayor if he, you know, if he still thinks that's true, but his office had no comment. You know, Ray Kelly has said they only follow leads, but there are no leads at all in this document that suggest this is why we're going into these mosques. This is why we're spying on Shiite mosques here. There are no leads other than they're Shiites. Ray Kelly kind of downplayed that at a news conference yesterday and said, "Well, it was this is a contingency plan. If hostilities were to break out between the U.S., this was our contingency plan." You know, that was confusing to us because it doesn't say that anywhere in the document. There's no indication of what would trigger this contingency plan, and also what we haven't been able to really get an answer for. If this is a good idea, if this is sensible police work, why wait? Why wait? Why make it a contingency plan? Why not just do it? And if it's not a good idea, if it's not something they should be doing, then why would you even have it as your contingency plan? If it's not sensible, why would it be your contingency plan? So we haven't been able to get answers to those questions. But I mean, the document has really for us been a little bit of a window into the analysis that drove a lot of the programs we've been reporting on for the last 6 months, the demographics unit, which monitors conversations in coffee shops and hookah bars and social clubs, you know, to the mosque crawlers that go to the mosque. We knew that this was going on. We had documents showing it was going on. For the first time now, we have documents backed up by interviews showing, well, this is why it was going on. And at least in this instance, you know, the logic wasn't follow a lead, it was follow Muslims.
Once again, the document shows the extraordinary reach of the New York Police Department. They're talking not just about surveillance in New York City, but also of mosques up and down the Northeast. You've seen this before about the New York Police Department basically conducting operations wherever it feels it needs to do so.
Right. And so in this instance, they're talking about suburban Philadelphia and West Hartford, Connecticut. I mean, those are the southernmost and northernmost reaches of the, you know, on the list, the mosques on the list. What's interesting here is, you know, this is so far outside the New York Police Department's actual physical jurisdiction. Some of what they do, they actually are able to pick up under federal jurisdiction because this unit is technically part of a federal high-intensity drug trafficking task force set up by under the auspices of the federal government. So it's interesting. At least some of these documents we've obtained are actually, you know, were actually done on federal computers. But we've not been able to get any answer from the Obama administration. The Justice Department wants nothing to do with this. You know, they haven't answered our questions for months on this about whether this is okay. I mean, we just want to know, you know, the Obama administration has been really clear about where it comes down on what police departments and what the federal government should be doing as far as, outreach to communities and how we should be, you know, building those bridges. They've not said whether, well, yeah, we want you doing that, but we also want you doing this stuff that the NYPD does. I mean, the federal government, you know, spends hundreds of millions of dollars a year on the NYPD. A lot of this stuff was done in collaboration with you know, with senior CIA officers. CIA has trained NYPD officers. They get federal money for these programs. They're using federal computers for these documents. But, you know, ask Tom Perez from the Civil Rights Division what he thinks about this. I mean, it was frustrating for us. I mean, he literally, you know, just doesn't even answer the question. He just walks away. I mean, it's hard to get an answer. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of people who find this troubling have said, oh, you know, Pete King, congressman from New York, you know, he's been so against it. You know, he's come out so in favor of the NYPD. He's saying what he believes. I mean, and you have to give somebody credit for being willing to engage in this. These are hard conversations. You know, this is uncharted waters we're in. And you have to give people credit for coming forward and saying, this is what I believe. And if it's not popular on either side, fine, this is what I believe. I mean, what we've been trying to do from the very beginning is let people know what's going on so people can have so people can make informed decisions. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, are just, we don't want to even get involved in this. We don't want to know. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to have anything to do with it.
Matt, just quickly, even getting this document, the NYPD is notorious for resisting freedom of information requests. How difficult was it to get them to turn over this document?
Oh, they didn't turn it over. I mean, you know, in the course of this reporting, you know, we've received documents from a variety of sources, you know, who've done so, frankly, you know, probably with some risk to their careers. And a lot of people, you know, inside the department, you know, the majority of the people who've been talking about this, you know, Ray Kelly has said repeatedly, this is disgruntled FBI guys. I mean, the FBI didn't even know about these programs. I mean, so we've been able, you know, we've been building these reports on you know, dozens and dozens of interviews with people inside the intelligence division, you know, people with intimate knowledge of these programs who've, you know, many of whom who say, no, we're not ashamed of this. This is the way you should be doing it. And some of whom say, this is not what the police department should be doing. And again, we're just trying to get that discussion going. And frankly, I mean, here we are 6 months after the first story came out, and we're still talking about it. And, you know, we think it's a topic worth talking about, and certainly a topic worth exploring.
Matt Apuzzo, we have to break, but we're going to come back to this discussion. We'll also be joined by a Harlem imam to talk about the effect of the release of the report on the surveillance on the Muslim community in New York. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. We're speaking with Matt Apuzzo, the AP reporter, among the team who has broken the story of a New York Police Department report saying they would be surveilling the Muslim community. This is Democracy Now! Back in a minute. You're on Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Matt Apuzzo still with us, reporter for the Associated Press, co-author of the AP report called Document Shows NYPD Eyed Shiites Based on Religion. We are going to link to that at our website, democracynow.org. We're also joined by Imam Talib Abdur-Rashid, spiritual leader at the Mosque of Islamic Brotherhood and a member of the Islamic Leadership Council of New York. Matt Apuzzo, I just wanted to go back to the issue of the CIA and the New York Police Department relationship. News recently, the CIA saying they did not approve this relationship, though a top official within the CIA, David Cohen, after September 11th, came to New York and worked high up in the, came one of the top officials in the New York Police Department.
Right. So after 9/11, David Cohen, who is one of the top intelligence officers at the CIA, came to the NYPD as the head of intelligence. And one of the first things he did was, in collaboration with George Tenet, who was the CIA director, arranged for another CIA officer, Larry Sanchez, to come to New York. Now, it was a very murky arrangement. So George Tenet sent Larry Sanchez to New York as his personal representative. So he's still on CIA payroll. He is still, you know, still has a CIA badge. He starts the morning at the CIA station, you know, reads all the intelligence, and then goes over to NYPD and shares it. And that is what I think, you know, intelligence sharing is what is absolutely supposed to happen. And post 9/11, you know, that was the focus. But I mean, what Larry also did was Larry was also the architect of a lot of these programs. I mean, you know, New York was trying to figure out how are we gonna find these things? How are we gonna get the lead? You know, how are we gonna get these leads? How are we gonna get these informants? You know, where are we gonna put our undercovers? And Larry was able to bring a lot of the expertise, and a lot of the officers that we've interviewed, you know, said, you know, Larry was invaluable in this, in helping us build these programs, reviewing our records, and now. That's what we've sort of focused on the CIA relationship. CIA has also trained an NYPD detective at the Farm, which is the spy school in Virginia. And then just most recently, there was a another senior, one of the most senior CIA officers in the country, went to New York on what the federal government called a management sabbatical. But what Ray Kelly said was information sharing. So we don't still really know what his job was there, But we do know it's ending early, 9 months into a one-year stint. So, and it sounds like from what David Petraeus said before Congress yesterday that that sort of relationship isn't going to continue. They're going to find some new way to collaborate and share information, but it doesn't sound like they're going to be sending anybody back.
Well, I'd like to bring the imam into the conversation. Your reaction to this continued exposure of what the New York Police Department is doing in the Muslim community, not only in New York City, but up and down the East Coast.
Well, we're not surprised at all. You know, those of us who are familiar with the history of the NYPD, we know that there's been a long-standing tension, not just between the Muslim community, but between communities of peoples of color here in New York City. And we view these latest programs, the programs that are focused on Muslim New Yorkers, as being directly related to NYPD intelligence programs of the past, the Red Squads of the 1950s and 60s, you know, focused in on political activists, except now, instead of just focusing on the political community, they're focusing on our religious community.
Have you experienced the surveillance at your mosque, at the Mosque of Islamic Brotherhood, and also the fact that you're the president of the Islamic leadership group here in New York, what people are saying, other imams?
Yeah, other imams throughout the city. We are positive that they are on that list. We have lawyers in our community who've seen the list, and we know for a fact that there are mosques throughout the city that have been targeted under this program.
Well, you know, one of the sentences in this report that the AP uncovered says FBI officials have suspected that the Alavi Foundation is using its Islamic centers as a means of penetrating the black Muslim community to recruit sympathizers. The Alavi Foundation being an association that has connections with the Iranian government.
Yes.
This effort to paint the black community as being infiltrated by foreign forces.
Well, of course, that's an old theme going all the way back to the 1930s. You know, government still doesn't get it, that the African-American community is capable of its own analysis of problems, capable of organizing itself as a community. When one looks at that document under Ancestries of Interest, which was one of the NYPD documents, African-Americans are the only American-born or indigenous group on that list. And the whole premise is a fallacy. The African Americans, we do not have any kind of history of terrorist activity in America, in spite of the circumstances under which we came here in the first place.
Matt Apuzzo, you are nodding your head. Talk more about that.
Yeah. So one of the documents that we were able to obtain along the way was their Ancestries of Interest, and the imam is absolutely right. I mean, it's 28 countries, almost all of them are Muslim countries, and then American Black Muslim. There clearly is a concern or a viewpoint at the NYPD about Muslim converts and about African American Muslims. One of the programs we uncovered along the way was the name change program. The NYPD basically they data mine everybody in New York who changes their name. And if you change your name, I'm Matt Apuzzo and I change my name and I take the last name Muhammad, I'm going to get looked at. And if the imam changes his name to Matt Apuzzo, he's going to get looked at because the concern is, well, what is he trying to go undercover? Is he trying to go, is he going to try to obscure his identity? And the feeling on that was that, if somebody's taking a Muslim name, maybe they're becoming more religious, they're becoming, potentially more violent. And if they're Americanizing their name, just as generations of immigrants have done, if they're Americanizing their name, well, then maybe that Muslim is trying to avoid scrutiny and try to blend in. And so you'd get a background check, you'd get put in a police database, and depending on who was doing the analysis and at what time in the program this was, you might get a visit from the NYPD just to ask you about why you were changing your name.
You know, listening to this, this helps me to understand that one of the basis for this current activity is actually the 2007 NYPD report on so-called homegrown radicalization. And back then, the Muslim American Civil Liberties Coalition challenged many of the premises that are in that report as to how they identify, you know, Muslims who are being quote-unquote radicalized. And they fought the coalition then, those of us in the Muslim community who were saying to them, this is not right. This gives the wrong impression. They smugly dismissed our criticisms. Now we find out that they actually built programs based on these false premises in the first place.
Matt, I'd like to ask you just briefly, am I wrong, or have I been witnessing an increasing sort of division between the FBI and the New York Police Department? Several times that the New York Police Department has arrested so-called terrorist suspects, where the FBI has almost disdained them as real entrapment efforts, not real terrorism cases. Do you see a growing division between the FBI and the NYPD on these matters?
Well, there is a rift, but I mean, I actually think it gets a little bit. I mean, the rift between the NYPD and FBI is kind of a oversimplified thing. I mean, there is a rift between the FBI and the NYPD's intelligence division, but I actually think, you know, this most recent case, the Pimentel case. I mean, you know, I think that might be a case of just, you know, some bruised egos on both sides. If the NYPD wants to bring a case that the FBI doesn't want to bring a case on, I mean, certainly the NYPD can bring a case. Now, the FBI, if they didn't want the case to be brought, they didn't bring it. I mean, if the FBI decides they want to, I mean, if the NYPD decides they want to bring it, I mean, that in and of itself, I don't think is indicative of the rift. I mean, certainly there is a division between the Intel division and the FBI in New York. But, you know, to the imam's point, which is I think fascinating about, you know, the idea of, you know, about building these programs and what is effective policing. I mean, the Department of Homeland Security, I mean, Janet Napolitano and, you know, Barack Obama have talked about this very issue globally or nationally about how we're gonna, about what our best practices for policing. And they're very eager to talk about it as long as you don't talk about New York. I mean, we have asked for months to try to talk to them about the NYPD's programs, which, you know, federal money finances. We can't get the Homeland Security Department to say, yeah, we're for this. This is what we want. We want this done in every city. Or, no, we're actually against that. We don't want it done in any city. Or, actually, we only want it done in New York. It does seem weird, right? I mean, if it's good practice, if this is good law enforcement, it should be replicated and put everywhere. And if it's not good law enforcement, then we certainly don't want it done in the city that is the biggest focus of international terrorism.
Meemaw. Mom.
Yes, you know, Amy and Juan, just a few weeks ago, there was you did a program here on Democracy Now! In which you were highlighting the continued militarization of the police force in New York City and other major cities. And this is another example. A few years ago, under Mayor David Dinkins, he implemented a policy and approach that was called community policing. And, of course, under the Giuliani administration, they moved away from community policing, and now here we are under the past decade under Mayor Bloomberg and Ray Kelly. Ray Kelly has moved the NYPD completely away from community policing, and they are in fact running the NYPD like it's the private army of Mayor Bloomberg.
You're having a protest today, Imam Rashid Ed, down at Foley Square here
Yes.
in New York City, and you're calling for the resignation of the police commissioner,
Absolutely.
Ray Kelly?
Absolutely. The police commissioner and his spokesman, Paul Brown. They have continuously, misled and lied to New Yorkers generally and Muslim New Yorkers in particular. They've been caught in their lies, and the taxpayers of New York are not paying them to lie to us about what they're doing. doing. So we're calling for their resignation.
We want to thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Matt Apuzzo in Washington, D.C., reporter for the Associated Press, co-author of the new AP report called Document Shows NYPD Eyed Shiites Based on Religion. And Imam Talib Abdur-Rashid of the Mosque of Islamic Brotherhood and president of the Islamic Leadership Council of New York. He'll be at Foley Square today at 3 o'clock in New York City. That's the courts area of New York, leading the protests. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report.